Matthew chapter 8 says, when he was come down from the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, people, it says at this point, being amazed because he doesn't teach like the scribes, but as one who has authority. They're actually in turmoil over how authoritative he was. He's coming down from the mountain. It says, great multitudes followed him. And Matthew says, behold, consider this. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Matthew, writing primarily to the Jew in his day, telling us over and over how Jesus fulfilled over 99 Old Testament scriptures, more than the other three Gospels combined. Matthew, Levi, probably raised in a Levitical family, seeing the beauty and the power of the Messiah, gives us this record. And he takes us immediately now to miracles, to this healing of a leper, understanding the significance of it to Israel and to us. Of all ancient literature, there is no equivalent to Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. You have the five books of Moses. And of course, interestingly, and I don't dig these things up, they say that in Genesis and Exodus, every 39 letters, of course it would be going, well, it's backwards for you if I go this way, every 39 letters you find T-O-R-A, you find the word Torah, law, and then in Numbers and Deuteronomy, it's backwards, but it's pointing, the law is pointing towards Leviticus. And then Leviticus has 26 chapters, and the center of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, is all about leprosy. There is, in ancient literature, nothing that compares. Chapter 14 is at great length, and it describes the diagnosis of leprosy. The person would have to go to the priest. The priest would go through great detail making this decision in regards to the fact whether this person, in fact, was leprous, because this person was going to be put outside of the camp, the temple, Israel. His life would be changed forever. So the priest wants to make sure that he doesn't have chicken pox or measles or psoriasis or something. So there's at great length over 50 verses describing the diagnosis of a disease. There isn't anything else like it in the Bible, and there's anything like it in ancient literature. Diagnosing leprosy. And leprosy in the mind of the Jew had a stigma attached to it, because in their own history, when they thought of leprosy, they thought of Miriam, who had slandered Moses and come against God's leader, and God struck her with leprosy. And in their mind, it was equivalent with death, because Aaron, when he prayed, he said, don't let her, you know, live as one dead with leprosy, prayed for that she'd be healed. But it was because of sin that she was smitten. And in fact, they particularly thought leprosy was attached to sins of the mouth, if you can imagine. Then you have Gehazi, when Naaman the Syrian was healed and Elisha refused to take any treasure or any reward, Gehazi ran after him and lied and said, we'll take some reward. And it says Gehazi was smitten with leprosy to the day of his death because of his sin. You have Uzziah, the king, who went in infringing on the office of the priest where he was not to go. He was forbidden by the law. And it says he was smitten with leprosy and he lived out all of his days as a leper. So in Israel, there was a stigma that if you had leprosy, you had this disease, it was because of sin. Now look, all disease is because of sin. Not the individual's person who has a disease, but Adam, when he fell, when the fall entered in upon the human race, sin brought disease and destruction with it. So in one sense, sin is at the root of all disease. But of all diseases, to the Jew, leprosy personified sin. In fact, in the Talmud, out of 61 defilements that are described, leprosy is second only to death. They say the most defiling thing is death. After that is leprosy. And the leper had to cover his top lip. The leper, when he was pronounced unclean, had to tear his clothes. He had to go around crying, unclean, unclean, and act the part of one that was mourning, but all the while he was mourning for himself and was considered the living dead. And what they called leprosy in this day was the finger of God. that God had put his hand on your life because of some secret sin that no one else knew about, and therefore you were being judged. So you have to imagine this guy. And the way it was in ancient Israel, you know, it's called Hansen's disease today. There's still not a cure. They can arrest it today and stop its progress. They're still looking for vaccination. And interestingly, they work with armadillos because they've discovered that leprosy breaks out on your appendages first. And the reason is because the end of your fingers, end of your nose, your ears tend to be a little cooler than the rest of your body. And because the armadillos, this is just for information about armadillos, you didn't think you were going to get this morning. Because the armadillo's body temperature is around 93 degrees rather than 98.6, 93 to 95, it is a good animal to experiment with leprosy. And armadillo lives about 15 years, so it gives them a fairly long study. When your animal rights activists can go out and protest right after church. But so in every way, it's an interesting picture. There's 10 to 15 million lepers estimated in the world today. In the United States, about 5,000. In fact, a few years ago, I don't know if it's still there, in Carvel, Louisiana, there was a leper colony there. It is a debilitating disease. It is a terrible disease. And it would start with a spot, it says. That would be the first thing. It gets on the neuropathways. It works its way inside the body for years. Some of the early signs of leprosy are joint pain and fatigue. So everybody here over 30 just said, I got it. I can't believe I got it. But it just... And then it works its way out. It starts as a spot. It says it's sometimes a shiny spot. Then it becomes hardened. But it's such a picture of sin because it's underneath for a long time. It's not in the open. It works its way to the surface, and people would try to keep that hidden. They didn't want the priest to see it because they understood what it would mean. It desensitizes. People get neuropathy, and they cut their hands and cut their feet, don't even know it. It goes after the cool places in our lives, just like sin. If you're lukewarm somewhere and you're cool, that's where sin's going to come. And how many people in churches across the country today have hidden sin? Pornography, hatred and bitterness, alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs that are being abused, things that people don't like to talk about. They're there. They're hidden. They're under the surface. They come because there's some coolness in our life. We've compromised. As time goes on, they desensitize us. And leprosy was such a picture of sin. This man would have been hiding for years. And they say it's 2 to 20 years, the term of it, but the average is 9 years until you're dead. So Caiaphas, no doubt, at one point in the temple in Jerusalem, the high priest, has this man come to him and say, I have this spot, I've got another one here. And it says that he was cleansed, they cleaned him up, and they put him away, and they went through this long, detailed examination, because when the priest said to this person, you have leprosy, you're unclean, immediately his garment was torn, he was not allowed home, he was put outside of the temple, outside of worship, outside of commerce, outside of every birthday party for his children, every bar mitzvah. When his kids were home with a fever, he wasn't allowed to be there. When his parents died, he could not attend. He was put outside of everything. And on top of it all, the religious system, not all it could do was diagnose him, no cure. And on top of that, it said to him, it's because God is displeased with you. This is the hand of God on your life. This man, Luke tells us, Dr. Luke, is full of leprosy. He's in the last stages. Probably means his fingers were gone, if not his hand. His toes were gone, ears gone, nose gone, lips gone, head swollen up like a lion. In the mid stages, you could smell a leper from 100 foot. Somehow this guy presses through the crowd. The crowd must have split like the Red Sea. Unclean. Here he comes through. Jesus doesn't move. Jesus doesn't run. This man heard somewhere there's a prophet in Israel. Because the priest couldn't help them. The priest could only diagnose them. chapter 13, Leviticus, and then chapter 14, there was a sacrifice offered in the day of cleansing. It was not therapeutic. It was only ritual. And Jesus had said in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel. Elisha did more miracles than any Old Testament prophet. In fact, he asked for the double anointing and did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah. And Jesus said in his days, the greatest miracle worker of the Old Testament, there were many lepers in Israel. None of them were healed except for Naaman the Syrian. Israel knew nothing of lepers being healed and cleansed. And yet this man pushes through the crowd. Luke tells us he falls down before Jesus. Mark says he's on his knees. It says here he worships him, saying, Lord. The first time in the New Testament Jesus is called Lord is right here. He worshiped him, saying, Lord. And probably it didn't hold all the significance that it would after this. Lord. And notice this question. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Understand what he's saying to Jesus? He's saying, I'm unclean. Look, we live in a nation filled with lepers. If leprosy is a picture of moral and spiritual decline, we have leper colonies everywhere. They're called drug rehabs, you know, the Betty Ford Clinic, our prison system. I mean, we have leper colonies everywhere trying to deal with the problem of sin in people's lives, and all of them will accomplish nothing. They can make a diagnosis. Without Jesus Christ, no one's life will ever be changed. And in this scene, it's telling us that. Religion couldn't help. Nothing could help. And counseling programs, they are only have value to the degree they bring the person they're trying to help into the presence of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can change lives. And this room is filled with that testimony. The amount of grace represented in this room is unimaginable. You can make me clean. You see, he was willing to admit his uncleanness. And many people, it's cooking under the surface. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want it to break out. They don't want people to see. But they're not willing to come. And notice this. This is one of the most pitiful prayers to me in the Bible. He says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He doesn't say, if you can, will you? He doesn't say, if you can do this, will you do it? He says, if you will, you can. He has no doubt about the ability of Jesus. He's not doubting his ability. He's doubting whether he wants to do it. He doesn't say, if you can, will you? He says, you can. Will you? And what he's saying at this point is, God, I believe in your power. I just don't believe in love anymore. Why should I? Leprosy, sin, has cut me off from my own feelings, from religion, from my family. It has cut me off, and all that religion has been able to do is tell me it's just because you're getting me, because God is mad at me. And somehow he comes to Jesus, and there's enough in him that says, you know what, I know he can do this. I've heard he's opening the eyes of the blind. He's healing the halt and the lame. I know he can. I don't know. If he will, I'm certain of God's power. I'm just not sure about love anymore. I just don't know if I can trust anymore. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, verse 3, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Luke says, immediately he was made whole. Mark says, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. Understand what's happening here. Because the other gospels say, as soon as he had spoken the word, he was whole. Jesus didn't need to touch him. He could have just said, be clean, and it would have been done. Why did he touch him? Imagine this. The crowd is watching. And Jesus reaches out and puts his hand. This guy hadn't felt a human touch in years. In years, no one had touched him. And what he's saying is, I know God can do this if you're a prophet. I just don't know about his love anymore. And Jesus could have just healed his disease, but he wanted to heal something much deeper in the man. And you know, he does that with us. He heals our disease of sin. We come to Christ. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. We're on our way to heaven. But some of us take years for some reason to get out from under the law and believe in his love, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. He reached out. And when he reached out, you have to understand, he was reaching across religiosity. He was reaching across Judaism. He was reaching across years of bitterness and doubt and misconceptions about God. His hand reached across more than we can ever imagine. And he put his hand on this man. Well, that's against the law. You're not allowed to touch lepers. Produce your leper. If you're going to accuse Jesus, produce your leper. Where is he? You see, when Jesus touches us, he's never infected with our disease. We're infected with his holiness, his power, and his love when he touches our lives. Jesus would be infected with this man's sin within a few years. It says he bore our sin upon the tree. And that is where God the Father's wrath came down and was satisfied. Jesus reaches out, touches us. Let me tell you what it's telling us, because this is the most loathed living condition. Only death worse. And Jesus reaches across the boundaries of religion and touches this guy's life, because to Jesus there are no untouchables. Religion had pushed this guy away, and Lord, forgive us for our religiosity. Lord, forgive us for being Pharisees. Forgive us for anybody who's broken and plagued that we push away instead of extending our hand and touching their lives. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I will. It's interesting. Matthew's word here, it could speak volumes. It's really an emotional word, not just an affirmation. It's I will, or I desire it with all of my heart. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus reaches out and touches this man and said, you know, with all of my heart, I want to do this. Clean. And some of you here today don't know this Jesus. You know some Jesus on a crucifix. You know some Jesus that the church has represented, but you don't know this Jesus that the Bible puts in front of us, the real Jesus, the risen Jesus, the living Jesus, who would put his hand on your life today. There isn't any disease, any sin, anything that anybody has in this room that would make him turn away. And maybe your prayer today is, I know you can, Lord, but will you? I've got this thing underneath. Nobody knows about it. I wrestle with it, and it seems like I never get victory. It's a stain. It's a disease. It's a sickness. I'm tired of wrestling with it. I can never get rid of it. I go to church every week. I'm your child. I know you love me. You died for me. But Lord, except you reach out and touch my life, I'm incurable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever is what the Bible tells us. I will. David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband, said when he came back to the Lord, he said, cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Referring to the cleansing of the leper. He knew. And immediately it says he was made whole. You have to understand what this means. People are watching. They're standing there. You know, your experience with leprosy is probably from Ben-Hur. You know, and you see that, you know, here it says Jesus reached out and touched him and immediately he was made whole. That meant his fingers went back on his hands. His nose came back on his head. His ears came back on the side of his head. His swelling went down. He reached up with fingers he hadn't seen for years and he felt his face and it was there and he was made whole. He was made whole. And there isn't anybody in this room that has an excuse to leave here today not whole. Because he's the same here. He's the same today. Now, he does something interesting in all three Gospels. He says, don't say anything to any man. Sure. You know, Mark tells us he immediately went out and started to publish this abroad. Isn't it funny? You know, he tells this guy, don't tell anybody. He tells everybody. He tells us to tell everybody. We don't tell anybody. It's a human problem. Don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded in the law for a testimony unto them. All three Gospels say that. For a testimony unto them. And here's why. Because many priests through the centuries had looked into Leviticus chapter 13. Many of them had diagnosed people with leprosy. No priest that we know of in Israel's history had ever offered the sacrifice of chapter 13. Chapter 13 was written for Caiaphas and for Annas and for the day when the healer would walk among us. And this is what it said. It said, the leper, in the day that he is cleansed, he has to go and show himself to the priest. Now that would have been Caiaphas. Caiaphas, he probably said, remember me? You know, remember, hey, spot's gone. And Caiaphas, I'm wondering what must have been going on in his mind. And it says that Caiaphas, then he had to go look at chapter 14 and figure out what the sacrifice was. Never had been offered by any priest. And it said this, he was to take two doves, he was to take an earthen bowl, fill the earthen bowl with living water, he was to take a cedar stick and some hyssop, an herb, and tie it to this cedar stick with a red scarlet thread. Then he was to take the one dove and kill it and empty his blood into the living water in the earthen bowl. Then he was to take the other dove and dip it into the blood and wash him in the blood and set it free. And then he was to take the hyssop and the blood and sprinkle the leper seven times. And of course, it's a picture of Jesus coming in an earthen vessel filled with living water. And the reason you and I are set free is because our kinsmen, the same stuff we're made out of, two doves, died for us and we are washed in his blood and receive the living water of his spirit and we are set free. And then it says the priest sprinkled him seven times and then shaved him. Shaved his head, shaved under his arms, shaved his eyebrows, like a cue ball, his whole body. And then set him aside for 7 days. 7 days for the priest to think. What was it like for Caius and Annas, for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to go home and sit with their wives that night? And say, you remember that guy, that troublemaker we told you came and cleansed the temple, turn over the, you know, yeah. Well, now I got some guy telling me that he touched him and healed him of leprosy. We had to go back and look in the law. We've never offered this sacrifice before, honey. I'm really troubled. For a testimony unto them. And then on the eighth day, he was brought back to the temple. If he was still clean, he was presented publicly to the congregation as healed. And then he offered a sacrifice. It said he took two lambs, he took a hin of oil. And this was the duty of the leper. For you and I here today, washed in the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed. We have some responsibility. It doesn't mean we can just go out and live however we want. Because what happened is they would take the lamb, they slaughtered the lamb, and then they took of the blood of the lamb, and they put it on the right ear of the leper, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, covered that with blood. And it was a picture that redemption, atonement, should be applied to our senses, what we listen to, the way we perceive things. It should be applied to our doing, what we do with our lives, to our going. But we can't do that on our own. So then the oil was taken and applied to the ear, the power of the Holy Spirit, to our doing, to our foot. And then it says they took the rest of the oil and they poured it over his head to be empowered with the Spirit. Now, here's one of the things that really would have bothered Caiaphas and Annas. In chapter 8 of Leviticus, on the day that the priest is consecrated and set aside for his service, they took a lamb, slaughtered it. They put blood upon the priest's ear, upon his right thumb, and upon his big toe. Then they took oil. They put it upon his right ear, his right thumb, his big toe. Then they poured the rest of the oil over his head, and he was consecrated and set aside as a priest. There is no one better to represent the living God than a cleansed leper who can tell people about his love and his forgiveness, and the fact that he reaches across every human religious boundary and sets people free and cleanses them. My encouragement to you today, if you're here and you've been hiding everywhere, friends, relatives, something's cooking underneath, you don't want it to come into the open, it's a hidden sin, you're playing with it, but you know you can't beat it, and you're weary, you're fatigued, and your joints ache. Come to Jesus today. Don't come to religion. Don't come to Calvary Chapel. You will never change until Jesus Christ sets you free. If you're a believer here today and you've been compromising, you see, we do the same thing. Lord, I know you can, but will you? Lord, you must be tired of me. And Satan is convincing you he's done with you. He doesn't want anything to do with you because you should know better. And you should. But it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, catharize us from all unrighteousness. Same word here. I will be thou clean, be thou catharized. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The wonderful thing is there's a maintenance involved here. I go to him every day. Lord, let your blood be upon my senses, my doing, my going, my mouth. I'm so selfish and so stupid sometimes. Lord, I need the power of your Spirit in my life. Pour it out fresh upon me, Lord. And he's so gracious to answer. So I'm going to make an appeal to two of you, not two people, two categories. If you're here today and you've never known Christ, I'm not talking about seeing a picture of him on Sunday with his robe pulled open with a crown of thorns around his heart. And, I've got children. I don't want to spend an hour with them Sunday morning. I want to get on the floor with them and wrestle with them and talk to them and look at them. I want to be with them when they cry, when they laugh. I want to be there to care for them and encourage them and pick them back up and put them on their feet and instruct them, reprove them, challenge them. And that's what Jesus wants with you. He does not want a religion with you. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your leprosy. And if you'll come to him today, he will set you free. He will set you free. So as the musicians come and we sing a last song at the end of the service, my challenge to you, if you've never come to Christ, forget about Calvary Chapel, forget about religion, forget about Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, and get your eyes on Jesus Christ. because religion can only diagnose you. It can't cleanse you. The law could only diagnose. The Old Testament could only diagnose. A mirror can diagnose. It can tell you your face is dirty, but you don't wash your face with the mirror. A thermometer tells you you have a fever, but when you find out you have a fever, you don't have to get a big glass of water and swallow the thermometer. You take aspirin. The law could only diagnose. Jesus Christ can cure. And if you don't know Christ, we encourage you to come today. We'd love to pray with you, give you a Bible, some literature to read. As a believer, you're struggling. It's underneath. Nobody knows. I understand. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as his son or as his daughter, you can come and say, Lord, forgive me. Because I know you can, but I have so doubted your love. I've cast you into a human mold. And forgot that you stand alone in the majesty of yourself, of your grace and your love and your forgiveness. Lord, cleanse me fresh today. Set me free. Give me a new beginning. Please do that as we lift our voices. Let's stand. I'll pray. Let's sing a last song together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the remarkable things that you place in front of us. But Lord, let this leper speak to us today of your love, Lord. We know that someday soon we'll stand with him around your throne with an innumerable company of lepers, Lord, to worship you, to cast our crowns before you. But today, Lord, now, for everyone here, Lord, who's been afraid to come to you, Lord, you've been misrepresented by religiosity, Lord, by human opinion. They've never, Lord, had the courage to believe that your love is extended to them without question, unconditional, Lord. Let them come today for your cleansing, to be set free, to be brought back to life. Lord, for all of us who wrestle, Lord, who have things in our lives that seem to be removed so slowly, that seem that change would never come, Lord, today, we say to you, Lord, we know you can, and we know you will. Bathe us afresh in your love, Lord, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. Receive the sacrifice of our lips as we offer our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.